All right. Episode 128 of the Fair Enough Podcast. And you know what that means. It must be NFL Week 1. Happy Week 1. You made it.
Those two things directly correlate.
They do. If it's episode 128, it has to be Week 1, 2024-2025 season. It's going to be a lot of football today. Bob in Detroit, Jack in Detroit, Mike in Chicago. It's expectations. It's things that we're looking for in week one. We'll recap what happened in college football week one last week really quick too. First off though, I wrote a note down last week that we needed to talk about this week. And I'm not ready to talk about it, but I think that you might be.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
No.
We're not doing it yet.
Nope, no need for it.
Are we tabling it for next week, or are we just not talking about it at all?
We could table it for next week, but the last 2 days have made me... I was ready to talk about it, but the last 2 days have made me not want to talk about it.
So what day... So Sunday, you were thinking, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And then Monday rolls around and you're not... Labor Day comes and you're not ready to talk about it now.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm referring to, if you don't remember, is that at the end of last week's episode, Mike brought up the fact that the Cubs were close to pushing for a playoff spot. And it was funny because literally the Tigers and the Cubs were on the same fucking trajectory and had like the same uphill climb. Both of them fell short. I said, and I think Mike agreed, if the Tigers were in that three games out arena, I would have said, all right, let's talk about it. I think they're actually four right now.
Yeah, as I say, I think the Cubs are 4.5 or something like that.
They're close, but they've been fucking off too. Yeah. And I'm not giving them the time of day. Is that what we're doing then?
Yep. I think that's appropriate.
All right. We're tabling until next week. All right, so we have a bunch of NFL questions that we're going to run through, but first I think we got to recap a little bit of college football. Did you watch a lot of the games?
No, I watched a little bit of like two games, but I saw most of the scores.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really watch anything at all. I don't even know what the hell I was doing. Golfing, I think.
What were the two that you watched, or do you remember any?
I watched a little bit of the Notre Dame game, and then... What game was it? It was one of the big ones. Oh, I watched some of the LSU. I watched most of the LSU-USC game. And that was, I think, the only two I really got a good look at.
I think let's just start there because I think that was the game of the weekend, LSU and USC. I was really surprised by both teams, really. I mean, I thought LSU was going to be very boring and blah. Mm-hmm. I knew USC had a chance to be exciting because of Miller Moss, but I didn't think that kid was going to be that good.
Me neither.
Dude, he's a problem.
Yeah, I was like, at first I'm like, dude, this guy looks like he should be bagging groceries at the fucking local Walmart.
And oh, yeah.
Seen him play, and I'm like, oh, fucking Shorty can play.
Dude.
And he was fucking dimes.
He was, and you're right, because when I saw him like in a sweatshirt, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? This is the quarterback?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, dude, no shortage of chucking dimes, and cool, calm, and collected the whole time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, looked like he'd been there before. They were awesome. That receiver, too, that Hudson kid for USC, nuts.
Nuts. Probably
that catch.
Two of the top five catches in the same game by the same player.
Dude, for real. Nuts. I mean,
that first one is going to be probably the catch of the year unless there's some crazy shit that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was that good.
No, it really was. And, like, the back view of it, when you see the two defenders, like, right next to him, they're on his hip.
Mm.
And he just makes a crazy play. You were talking about that to me earlier, weren't you, Jack?
Yes.
That
yesterday
catch.
I said that.
Yeah, you did. I was gonna say, I thought that you said that to me.
Or no,
maybe
not
I was
yesterday,
crazy.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday I think you said that. Crazy. But USC, I think going to make some noise in the Big Ten now, where I thought they were just kind of not going to matter as much. I think they're going to be a fucking problem.
Yeah, I mean, if their defense can be that, I mean, that's what they were, like, shut down, but they were pretty good against a good LSU team. If they can play like that, and eventually you're going to assume that Lincoln Riley ran offense is going to start scoring more points. So if you if you get them both going in the right direction, you're not – that could be a team that may surprise someone, because it seems like it's a two-man race, right? So
that it feels like – I thought it was just going to be Ohio State and Oregon. But then – not only did USC look good, I mean, Penn State looked pretty good on the road, too. They fucked around for a little bit of the game. I was pissed. I had West Virginia plus +8, like a lot of people I thought did, but I guess not, because it felt like I was the only one that lost money on that game.
I feel like Penn State is always that team a year in, year out, where it's like they're just always good to start the year, and then like come like week 7, week 8, they lose like 2 of their last 5.
Yep.
So who knows? You don't know who Penn State is till about week 7, I feel like.
Because it's Ohio State, Michigan, and those last 3 or 4 weeks every year.
Yeah. So
it's like, fuck. And then, and then they hit the wall. You're right. Penn State is the team that they're the perfect 10-2 team. They'll just never get over the mountaintop.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's where they'll land this year. The difference this year is they're going to get in the playoff.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, in reality. But, you know, they added some strength, so maybe, I don't know.
Aller looked good. That was, like, the biggest difference that I noticed. Like, he was very consistent. He was throwing some balls that it was like, holy shit. Like, I would put him on that kind of, like, obviously he didn't throw it for as many yards, but that Miller-Moss, not quite there, but that next tier down, I would say.
After that's the kid from Penn State?
Drew Aller's the kid from Penn State, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other games, that Georgia-Clemson game, kind of weird at the beginning. And then Georgia just said, all right, let's go ahead and shift into second gear and win this game. They didn't even play well. That's the fucked up part about it. And, I mean, kudos to Clemson's D. Clemson's D was no joke. Like, they were very solid, but Georgia just kind of said, all right, we're going to go ahead and take this game over. And they just it was so unwatchable and like just a boring game. And they just kind of said, fuck you guys. So I think they're, in my mind, they're still just cemented at that. It's Georgia. And then you kind of get the next
year. Yeah, the next 4 or 5. Yeah.
Like that's just kind of how it looked. I mean, Ohio State got off to a slow start. Not that I put too much stake into week one, because everybody kind of gets off to a slow start in week one. But Oregon, 4 quarters of a slow start is concerning. They did not look good against the Idaho Vandals rolling into town.
Couldn't handle the Vandal.
Dude, you got to beat the brakes off the Vandals. You have to. You can't let them hang around. It was, what, it was 17-14 at one point in the fourth quarter?
Something like that.
Because then Oregon scored a touchdown and it was 24-14 or something like that. Like it was way too close, way too deep into that game. So Oregon's got to figure it out. I was really like pumping their tires. Like I thought they were winning the whole thing, if I'm being honest with you.
That's who got Dylan Gabriel, right? That's where he went?
That's where he went.
Yeah. I thought that's how I felt too. I thought everyone was saying that Oregon was like probably going to be in the title game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Other than that, I mean, huge, huge win for Notre Dame. Like, that was a statement and a half to go into Texas A&M. And for Texas A&M fans, dude, I feel so bad for those people. Like, they just have so much money. They pour everything into this football team. And they are worse than last year.
Yeah, 6 points is tough. Or maybe they scored 13, but either way.
Did you bet on that game?
No, not at all.
No. Yeah. It sucks, too, because I love the A&M vibe. I think Kyle Field is fucking awesome. Like, the atmosphere for that game was electric. and then they just let everybody down. They're basically they're basically Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
They're SEC Virginia Tech. It's like a lot of talk, off-season talk, very cool atmosphere for a guaranteed late egg every single time. It's a lock.
Yeah.
But Riley Leonard and the boys over at Notre Dame, they're not losing again. You could chalk that up. That's a fair enough podcast guarantee because everybody else that they play stinks.
They don't have to play USC?
They do have to play USC.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, everybody else stinks.
Okay.
But they get USC at home. I'm pretty sure. Jack, double fact check that. But I'm pretty sure they get them at home. And if that's the case, like, even as good as USC looked, I'm still taking Notre Dame because of the defense and home field. Whoever's got home, I think, wins that game.
Makes sense.
It's in Southern Cal. Okay, so they might be
anything
fricked.
Else is did you see that October 12th slate?
Oh buddy.
Okay, so
I've seen it. And we're gonna be smack dab in the middle of Dallas Fort Worth for it.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's
kind of sick.
The next day is the Cowboys game.
That's pretty sick.
Yep, so we're going to the state fair where Oklahoma and Texas are going to be playing. But then later that night, we'll be at the bar for Ohio State, Oregon, which will be something.
Yeah, that'll be tight as fuck.
Sick. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. October 12th. We are very much geared up. Oh, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about our sad folks down in Gainesville, Florida. One people were expecting you to have for some reason. The real ones, like me and Mike, saw right through it and knew that the Gators were going to be shit this year. Some people that listen to this podcast and then everybody else down in Gainesville really thought they were winning that game. But the U is back.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
good.
We can officially say it.
Yeah.
They got kids a good.
Heisman candidate. Kids good.
Weapons everywhere. Like, they just have speed all over the field, and it showed on Saturday. And I think Cam Ward, like, showing that he can go into a hostile environment like Florida and win a game makes me believe that he can do that in a playoff game at the end of the year. Because they don't really get tested at all either because of, I mean, Florida State is a dog shit operation. I don't know what the fuck's going on over there. It's like the ACC is just not very loaded.
Just falling apart.
You know, they're in a bad way with some worse people over in the Atlantic coast, which Stanford is now a part of. Riddle me that.
Yeah, which is crazy. I did not know that. Wow, that's crazy, dude.
Did Stanford cover? I had that one. I don't think that they did, so fuck them and the ACC. But that's college football. You got anything else? Anything else that you thought about for college football?
No, that covered it all, bud.
Yep, I think we covered it. No, Michigan, of course. Slow start. The boys are going to start slow. We lost all five offensive linemen, our quarterback, our running back, our receiver. I mean, everybody's gone. So a slow start. They did the same thing last year. Everybody's already hitting the panic button. Let's fucking relax. Fair enough podcast guarantee. Take the 7.5 for Michigan at home against Texas this weekend. 7.5's too much. Horns down.
Horns down, baby. Oh,
All right. On to Sunday.
On to Sunday.
We've got a beautiful slate, honestly. I think it's a really good week one slate this year. And last year was just not nearly as good. I don't know if that's because Rodgers died and that game could have been something, or, you know, there was more to it. But I feel like last year's week one slate wasn't nearly this good. But yeah. Today we are here to answer questions about our own team and then a little bit about the rest of the NFL. So let's get started. I wish we, this is where we need the like Monday Night Football theme music or something like that. Okay,
we
Michael.
Just steal it. We could just toss it in there.
We could steal it. Yeah. Nobody's going to know that.
Yeah.
Unless we got like two or three narcs on the pod that listen to the pod. Okay. Player that you are most excited to watch, a Bear and a non-Bear in the NFL this season.
Okay. Well, the Bear is obviously Caleb. Mm-hmm. Pretty one of one answer, you know.
It's I would have said the same thing probably, yeah. I'm thinking, if I had to choose. Yeah. I think
There's really not even a close second in terms of like anybody, because it's like everyone, you know exactly what they do. So like the next one I would say is probably Rome.
Yeah.
Odunze.
Do you think, shout out to the Odunze dog, do you think that that Caleb throws for over 4,000 yards this year?
Man.
Does it happen?
I think it does, actually.
First time in Bears history.
First time in Bears history,
for
yes.
Jack and anybody else out there.
Yeah, I do actually think so, because I just don't think the running attack is, like, phenomenal. So I think that they're throwing a lot, and I don't know. I think he gets there.
Yeah, I agree. Non-Bears player? Most excited to watch?
So I was a little confused. Is it just, like, overall excitement or, like, excitement to see what you want?
Doesn't like this... yeah, I think interpret it whatever way you want, but just explain right. to me that you the way that you did interpret it so I know, because maybe I'll have a guy that I like for that too.
First thing that came to mind was Daniel Jones.
Ooh, really?
just purely,
I am blown away by that answer.
Just purely because of how bad he is and how bad it's like I'm just excited to see everything he has to offer, and if he gets benched and whatever, just to see how bad he is. That was like the first thing that came to my head. Just purely
what
for that.
What if Neighbors is the answer? Start balling?
I don't know. That'd be fucking prove me wrong. Then it's even more fun to watch Daniel Jones sling it
around. So you're not a hater. You're more so just along for the ride, baby.
I am very much on the side of he's bad. Like a goat bad.
Like a goat bad. Dude, he's not Ritter bad. I promise you. He's not even close to Ritter bad. He can at least rumble a little bit with the foots.
No, you're not wrong. Remember when he fucking tripped over the 10-yard line when he had a walk-in touchdown?
Of course.
Lost in the game.
Could you imagine how much different his life could be if he would have just ran that in and looked like cool as fuck doing it?
Yeah. It would have been like a 70-yard touchdown run by a white quarterback. It
would
have been
Daniel Jones' jerseys would be selling like Josh Allen.
Yeah,
literally. If he would have done that.
They'd be like, that's why we gave him so much money.
Remember that Bills game? And this is fucking, I don't remember what year this was. Remember that Bills game? It was Josh Allen's rookie year, and they were playing at the Colts, and he hurdled some guy for the Colts. Yeah. And that's when everybody was like, holy fuck, who is Josh Allen? Yeah. Why is he hurdling people?
For sure. That could
like
Daniel
Jones is like the Antichrist Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He stumbled on the 10 and tripped over the turf monster.
So that's, yeah, I mean, I'll just give you an honorable mention, then we'll go into yours. I said Jaden Daniels, just because once again, another rookie, I kind of really wanted him. You could have seen me, you know, before the draft, I was saying trade out, get Jaden. So, like, I'm excited to see what he has to do also. So that was the second guy.
Well, you stole my NFL player.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because mine was also – dude, I agree. I think that everything that I've been hearing in camp is that Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin are, like, connecting like crazy.
Like lamb and tuna fish?
Like the lamb and tuna fish. And if that's the case, man, it should be kind of fun to watch – the Washington Commanders Redskins football team play again this year, which is kind of hype. So I love Jaden Daniels, but I think if I had to pick another one, where the fuck would I go? Give me Derrick Henry in Baltimore.
Ooh, I actually like that pick a lot. I didn't even think of that. I like to see that.
Because I really don't know. Like, you know what? You think you know what to expect, but Derrick Henry's also an old running back. So, like, I hate the fucking Ravens for what they did to us last year. It was disgusting. It was the tape that I hope that the Lions were watching all offseason next to the Niners tape. I mean, they just literally took a shit on our chest and sent us back to Detroit. But if Derrick Henry can be 3 years ago Derrick Henry on this Ravens team, they should just not throw the ball. Because yeah. They shouldn't have to. Like, between him and Lamar, just run an option. Just turn into Georgia Tech or Army or whoever. Yeah. Like, just run the triple option and throw three times a game. And that'd be fucking... And I wouldn't miss a second of their games if they were doing that.
Yep. You could have Zeke Fowler come on, like, a jet sweep and shit. He can be your third option, and boom. You got a three-headed monster.
Imagine that? That's crazy. You're right. Yeah, and then Mark Andrews is like, why am I just blocking them? It's like, fucking relax, Mark. You're hurt every 5 minutes anyway.
True.
So that would be my honorable mention. Lions? There's two. There's one easy answer. The first answer is Jameson Williams. And that's the easy answer. I mean, we were excited last year. We were excited his rookie year. We're waiting with bated breath to see the 800-yard season from Jameson Williams. And I think this is the year, and this is the time for it. We don't have a two. Like, it's Amon-Ra, and then it's Jameson Williams. Like, you're the guy now. So we need you to catch 60 balls. We need you to have 800 yards. And we need you to have 8 touchdowns, all streaks. Like, that's kind of what we need. 6 streaks and 2 end arounds. That's what we need from J-Mo this year. And then opposite of J-Mo, give me Tarion Arnold, rookie cornerback out of Alabama. If he can turn some things around, this Lions defense could actually be a unit worth reckoning rather than a CeeDee Lamb rips us for 250. You know, so those would be my two. Do you have a Lion, Jack? I don't know if you were wanting to get involved in this or what your thoughts were, or you're just vibing.
Yeah, I can get involved, but I'm overly excited for this season. I got a lot of players. Lions wise, I'm excited to, especially now that he's a part of my own squad, I'm excited to see Laporta come back at it this year. I really hope, and I'm not even going to say it, but I hope he doesn't schmit the schmed, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't think he is. I think Laporte is going to take over as tight end one this year. I really do. With the shortage that the Lions have at receiver, like it's that 3 spot is very questionable at this point. Losing Josh Reynolds was a lot bigger deal as the months kind of went on in training camp. And God, what an unfortunate time for him to shit the bed in the NFC Championship game, because I think that if he doesn't, we just pay him the money and he's back here again. So I think Laporta's definitely a guy to watch, could take over as the one tight end in the league this year if Kelsey has any kind of slip.
Yep. Across the league, I'm excited for some young QBs.
All of them.
2 of them, to be exact. Yeah, all of them, but 2 of them specifically.
Both of them.
Jordan Love, first of all. I hate the Packers with every ounce of blood inside of my body.
Yep, fuck the Pack.
And but fuck I want them as competition, you know? It's always been like that. And I'm glad the Bears are trying to sneak back as well. So Jordan Love first. And then Dr. CJ Stroud down south. I also would like to see him play well this season.
I think he's gonna. I hope Jordan Love doesn't, but I think Stroud's gonna.
Yep.
All right, Michael. Player that needs to show the most this season, player that needs to step up, however you want to take that one for the boys in Chicago.
Okay, so I am taking my second option on this because my first option is a group of men, and I'm
that's
gonna
okay.
I'm gonna save that for my next answer. And I got it. All right, because it would be lame if I just said the same thing twice in a row.
Agreed.
So I'm gonna go with Khalil Herbert. I think everybody on the defense, you kind of know what you're gonna get out of them. You know, you want to see what the guys on the line can do in terms of getting the sacks. That'd be cool. Like if anyone steps up there, but offensively, if Caleb does his job, the receivers aren't the problem. Our rushing game was not good last year. You know, we give up Montgomery because Khalil Herbert, this and the other thing. And then we bring in, DeAndre Swift, but he's not, you can't rely on him to go three downs every time because he gets hurt every year. He's just not a workhorse back. He really isn't.
Yep.
So that dude, Khalil Herbert, he's already like people like him on the Bears. He's been there before, just saying anything. You know, be the veteran Bear, honestly, at this point. He's like the veteran Bear after 3 years only. You know,
right.
Step up and fucking, you know, make important plays and get yards where you could. And I think a solid run game will just help the Bears out so much more. Obviously, free up Caleb, this, that, and the other thing. So, going Khalil Herbert.
I like that. I like
that.
Yeah. I'm going to go other side of the ball and give me Derek Barnes for the Lions. So, it's really Alex Anzalone wears the green dot linebacker, and then Derek Barnes is the other linebacker that's pretty much in there on every play. Derek Barnes had flashes of greatness last year, especially in the playoffs. He had the game-sealing interception against Tampa, made some big plays down the stretch, but then he has plays like he did in Dallas where he literally had Dak sacked for a safety and then just decided not to tackle him, and then CeeDee went for 99 on us. Like, the guy was just a little bit too inconsistent throughout the year, and I think if the corners step up, if the secondary steps up, then this linebacking crew will be, you know, not weak, but the weakest part of our defense. And, I mean, Anzalone stepped up last year. I was a big hater going into last year, and I just kind of thought, we can replace this guy with somebody better. At that time, Levante David and some other guys are free agents, and I was like, why aren't we taking more of a serious look at these guys? And it's because they believed in Anzalone, and last year he was one of the best coverage linebackers in the league, which is crazy because that was the thing that he was the fucking worst at. Great to see him like step up, and now he's such a big part of this team. I have no ill will towards him, but if Derek Barnes could take that next step, the defense is really going to be a problem, I think. Okay, the next one. One thing that you need to see in week one against the Titans that's going to make you say, all right, this Bears team, we're officially making the next step. Like, this might be for real here. We're making some progress.
The O-line needs to win the battle up front all game long.
I love it. The boys.
Because I don't care how good this rookie could be. I don't care if he's going to be good or bad. He can't do shit if he's running for his life. And everybody that's been around lately has had to run for their life. So if the O-line can win the battle, especially on the pass game, keep our quarterback safe, I think that'll be like, okay, hey, we're going to have a healthy quarterback, hopefully. You know, that really give that confidence to be like, okay, let the offense do its thing now. And I think that's the first thing, because all the skill players – know what they got to do. It's O-line and Caleb Williams, but O-line most importantly, I think.
Yep. How many guys did they replace on the O-line? Do you know? It's not all five are back.
No,
right?
I think they had one guy. I don't know. I know they have one that's like Pro Bowl-esque type player. I can't think of his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they replaced like one, maybe two, but I don't think there was much turnover. I think we were middle of the pack last year. And I think they drafted some old linemen early.
Gotcha.
So if that guy can be good, boom, 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 you know.
Yep.
Maybe not really.
Okay.
Second round.
Let me go. honestly, it's for the Lions, a positive aspect that I need to see is that wide receiver three position. I don't care who it is, but in week one, we're going to need to see whether it's Isaiah Williams, whether it's just Khalif Raymond in there, whether it's Tim Patrick. I don't care who it is. We need something there. Like, we have to have a guy there. Josh Reynolds made so many big plays for us over the middle last year. I think a lot of people forget. And when if you go back and watch those games, watch the shortened version on YouTube, you'll be like, holy shit, Josh Reynolds makes a lot of plays for us last year. So replacing him is not going to be easy. So we need to have something positive there. You know, it's not the end of the world if we don't, but holy fuck. Like, I think that's what, if I see that, that will make me think, okay, we're taking this step here. We got the guys, we're covered on offense as I thought that we were going to be, and we're good to go. So give me wide receiver three for what I need to see to believe. You want to switch up the order here? You want me to go first?
Yeah, do it up.
One thing that would concern you in week one. For me, this is an easy answer, and it's the secondary. If we just go ahead and get shredded again in week one, I know that we're playing the Rams. I know that we're playing Matt Stafford. I know it's Puka Nacua. I know it's fucking Cooper Kupp. Like, it's a no joke, good as anybody in the league passing attack. But the boys got to hold their own. I mean, Puka popped off on us last year. Like, we just need to be able to cover a little bit more, give our guys a little bit more time. Like, we got to be able to get home on the quarterback, of course. I hope that they get better at that this year too, but they should. But the secondary, if guys are just losing assignments left and right like they were last year, then I'm going to be very concerned going into week two and moving forward. What do you got?
For one, good answers. I like that. But mine is that if we let up more than, like, I would say 17 points, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah?
Yeah. You got a no identity Titans team coming in against this defense that's been getting hyped up and is getting better, yada, yada, yada. Rookie quarterback, defense, go make a statement, shut the shit down, give them a win, even if we only score 20, you know, 17 points.
Yep.
And I think that there's enough guys on the team that are, like, kind of veterans that will say, hey, let's go win this game. Fuck it. Let's go rah, rah. So I think if we let up more than 17, I'll be a little butthurt.
Okay. I agree. I think this, like, a lot of people just buy into the hype on the Titans, and I just never, I'm front door at the Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins fan club. Okay.
Yeah.
I love both of those guys.
For sure.
I don't think it's not their fault. And I don't even think it's Will Levis's fault. I mean, he's a goddamn defensive end playing quarterback. He's a fucking specimen, this guy. It's the aura. I don't know what it is. Some teams have it. The Titans have it. And it stinks. And I don't think that they're ever going to be good in our whole entire life. Like, as they'll be good. It was fun when Chris Johnson was there. They're making some runs with Derrick Henry. But you were never like, oh, dude, it might be the Titans' year. Even when they could be fucking 12-0, and you're like, they're going to blow it. Yeah. And they always do.
Yes, that's facts.
So, yeah, I like that. And, yeah, just not a crazy potent offense. I think the Bears should be able to. And that'll really show you, hey, this defense ain't no fucking joke.
Exactly. 1,000%.
Locking you down.
Yes.
Let's go back to you. Non-Bears-Lions game that you're most excited for this weekend.
Colts and the Texans.
Whoa. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, why?
Because you got C.J. Stroud coming off his freshman year. Does he come out flat, sophomore slump-esque shit? You got Jordan Love has trying to make a statement. You know, you got... I'm not Jordan Love. I'm sorry. You got AR-15 coming back. He's trying to make a statement. Like, you don't know how healthy he is. These two teams were kind of, you know, trying to throw the division away last year. And, you know, the Colts made a run, even though they had Gardner Minshew. So it's like, that team could be good. Let's see. So, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I'm excited for. Just, I don't think there's as much. There's hype around, like, the Chiefs game and shit like that and the Eagles game, yada, yada. But I think there's implication. You know, it's early division. Two young QBs. There's a lot to it. It's going to be a good one.
I love that. I'm surprised you didn't use that for your sneaky game.
Oh, I got an even better one, I think, for the sneaky game.
Oh, we might have the same sneaky game.
No way. I bet we do.
I bet we do, bro. I bet we do.
I'd love that.
All right. Give me for the game I'm most excited for, it's chalk, but it's not chalk because I think people forget it's happening. Give me Jets Niners Monday night. As a Lions fan and as – no offense. This is such a mean shot, and I mean not even really a shot because you guys are on your way. But for the teams that are contending this year, this is an important game. It is. I want to see how the Niners look. You know, I want to see what the boys are looking like week one. So to see them and then to see a, I mean, hopefully more than four plays Rodgers, I think that game's going to be lit. The only thing that could make it better is if it was in New York again.
Yeah.
Games, I don't know why, but games in San Francisco do nothing for me. I think it's boring atmosphere.
Yeah, I get that.
Maybe it's because it's not like the mob mentality fans.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's not like the Legion of Boom. It's not like, you know, when you go into
It's not Buffalo. It's not New York. Like, it's nothing even close to that. It's very vanilla, meh fan base. So that's my only complaint. If the game was in New York, I think it'd be way better. But I am very excited to see what Rodgers looks like and what the Niners look like.
Did you see that Leonard Floyd? Or is it Leonard Floyd? Right? Leonard Floyd's the one that snapped Rodgers' shit last year with the Rams on Monday Night Football, and now he's with the 49ers, and they're playing again week one against Monday Night Football against Rodgers.
Yikes.
Yikes is right. That dude better have two boots on going into that place.
He was a Bill. Snapping. He was a Bill, right? That's who they played the first game.
Last year was the Bills?
Jets-Bills.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever the fuck he was with.
Yeah.
But he was the one who snapped his shit last year, and now he's playing him again on the same day.
That's fucking crazy, dude. Oh, that is so scary. Wow, I might not bet on that game just solely because of that. Okay, let's move on to sneaky game. Don't say yours yet. Is your sneaky game in what window of time is your sneaky game in?
I think it's the 3 o'clock game. Let me double check real quick. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
NFL. Where is that? It's a 12 o'clock game.
We probably have the same one. All right. I'm gonna say it. Sneaky game. Give me the Steelers and the Falcons.
Stop it!
I knew it, dude. I knew it. How is that not an electric? It's an electric game, dude. The new look Steelers, dangerous with Justin Fields, literally like 1 foot on the field at all times, I feel like, is how he's going to be. Like literally one bad pass and he's like putting his helmet on. Fields is back out there. And I'm excited to see how Pickens looks. Just all like the Steelers I'm always fascinated by. But then on the other side, it's even better.
Yeah.
What are the Falcons going to look like? Like, what is Kirk Cobain's going to look like? Like, is this offense going to be what we want it to be? What we think it can be? Are they just going to dominate the NFC South?
Yeah, that's exactly. Literally, you're taking the words right out of my fucking mouth.
It's such a good game.
It is. I did not think you were going to go there. I'm happy you did.
Dude, I knew it. I knew when you said that yours was six sneaky. I was like, we got the same game.
Yeah, that's hilarious. 100%.
But yeah, I cannot wait for that game. I'm going to be locked and loaded. Unfortunately, we're probably going to be leaving to go down to tailgate in the middle of that game. Maybe we'll get to like try to get to the bar before then. Other games that are kind of sneaky, I think, are like that Cowboys Browns game at 4:25. I think that's a really interesting game. Obviously, I would have had Texans Colts in a sneaky game for sure. I think Cardinals Bills is a sleepy good 1 o'clock game.
Definitely.
What are the Bills going to look like? They lost Diggs. Cardinals added Marv. Like, I think the Cardinals are going to be a lot better than people think this year.
I'm not on it. I'm not on it at all, actually. But you could be right, but I'm not on it. I don't think so. Pretty sure they got a tough schedule, and I don't know.
Speaking of the Cardinals, can I give you guys a quick stat I just found?
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler, professional golfer, for those who don't know, has won 13 times since 2022. That's as many as the Broncos, the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans. And that's more times since 2022 than the Cardinals, the Bears, the Washington football team, and the Patriots.
That is actually kind of a really wild stat.
He's playing by himself.
Yep. Damn. Maybe he'll be the next coach of the Bears. Scotty Scheff.
Scotty Scheff.
taking over for Weirdo Eberflus. All right. Last one, and then I got a couple of picks that have been burning my brain that I got to give to you for the weekend. Team that needs a win most in week one, Michael, who is that? Who is that team?
I feel like we're going to have the same one in this, too.
Okay.
But I said the Eagles.
Okay.
I mean,
that's not mine. Like that one a lot.
They lost, what, 8 games in a row to end the year?
Yep.
After starting fucking 9-1 or whatever it was, 8-1, and then, you know, got embarrassed in the playoffs. They lost to the fucking Buccaneers, right? Isn't that who they lost to?
Yep.
Yeah. I think they got a lot to prove and a lot they need to figure the fuck out quickly.
They went to Tampa and got mauled.
Yeah.
By a not good Tampa team.
Yeah. So, and I just everything about them right now, it's you don't know if they're going to be the first 8 games of last year or the last 8 games of last year. And it's like, you got a lot of guys who are getting paid a lot of money need to prove some shit.
Yep. I like that answer. I'm going to go with a weird one. And we've actually already touched on them today. But give me the Giants. Week one. They're at home. It's a sleepy game against the Vikings. If you don't win this one, like, people are going to start asking questions that you don't, like, you don't want to answer. Yeah, you can't lose to Sam Darnold and the Vikings at home in the Meadowlands in week one. Because people are going to be pissed off.
Yeah. If you don't win this one, which one are you going to win?
That's the question that I'm going to ask. Exactly. What one, like, what's the next one on the schedule where you're circling it and you're like, we got a 50-50 shot? Because there's probably not many if you're losing to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Quick side note on this one. Who would you rather have? Tell me this, because me and Gary were arguing about this. Sam Darnold or Nick Mullins?
Oh, Sam Darnold.
All day, right? Like, it's not even a question.
Literally not even close, dude.
I thought I was taking crazy pills.
Fucking Gary's had some bad takes lately, dude.
Yeah, he's got some bad. He needs to get back in the lab, I think.
Guy doesn't know what Code Red is. Guy thinks Nick Mullins starting quarterback.
Yeah, I don't mean to be throwing him under the bus on the air here, but holy fuck, dude. Let's get it together here. Let's remember who Nick Mullins was.
Yeah, come on, dude.
Come on. All right. Some picks. I got 2 picks, Mike. In games that we have not talked about yet. And they are both underdogs. And they are both on the road. But give me Panthers +4. I'm eating it up. The Carolina Panthers are heading to Nollins. I think that the New Orleans Saints are going to be the worst team in that division by far. Jeez. I think the Panthers are going to be way better than them. Not just better, but way better. I think the Saints are going to fucking stink.
Wow, that is a fucking take and a half right there.
I think Dennis Allen is fired by week six.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right. Like I think they're going to be in a bad way with some worse people. I saw as I was like reading some shit today, I saw a Saints fan say, it might have been on like an Athletic quote or something. He was like, we've been holding on to this quote unquote Super Bowl window for about 5 or 6 years too long. And I was like, dude, that sums it up so well. They're really like, they go get Derek Carr. Like they're trying to just keep piecing this thing together and hold on. And it's like, fellas, burn this thing to the ground. Because the second Breeze's arm went, this whole thing was in shambles.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
So give me I love the Panthers plus four. I just think they added Hunt, the guard from the Dolphins. They added another guy on the O-line, Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, Jonathan Brooks in the backfield. Like, Bryce Young doesn't have any more excuses. I'm a Bryce Young guy. I think he's going to do well this year.
I do,
but
too.
If he doesn't, can. Curb. You got no more excuses, bud. Like, sorry, but you got to prove me right and then prove yourself right this year. You're fucked. And then give me Raiders. I'm buying in.
So confidently. Give me Raiders.
Raiders plus three. I don't know if they win the game, but I think they make it interesting for Jim Harbaugh's first game. And I think that Jim Harbaugh is going to run the living shit out of the pill. So I kind of like anybody to stay in it. This is probably the only time that I'll take Raiders plus the points all year, because I think that they're going to stink too, because they have Purdue's finest, Aiden O'Connell, slinging the rock for them. But yeah, those are my two plays. You got anything that you've been staring at?
I've been staring at a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I like the Colts plus the points at home. I think that I've said
home dog.
I said this a couple weeks ago. I think that the Colts are gonna win that division. I do. I think early in the year at home. The Texans are good, but I think the Colts are just a better team, honestly. I don't know. I just think they're gonna take it. I think AR is gonna be a dog, low key.
Are you a Stroud is regressing guy, or are you more of a AR is going to stay healthy and be good guy?
I think it's a combo of both. I definitely think CJ Stroud is going to have a little bit of regression personally, but I don't think it's going to be like he's going to be a boss, but I do think he's going to just have like a very mid-year and not.
He almost can't be bad with the weapons that he has.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, literally.
Like can't his third option is most teams, like Tank Dell is most teams' second option.
Yeah.
Steph Diggs is almost every team stacking option. So like,
no,
they got a nasty, they got a nasty team. But
I just think at home, I think at home that Houston's gonna take them lighter than they're supposed to, and they're gonna fucking use that home field advantage and cause a ruckus in Indy. Come on.
Well, and what did Stroud say to McAfee too? He said the loudest place he played in his rookie year was Indy.
Oh shit. I did see that actually. I'd forgot
and
about
it's,
it though.
It's never a good thing really to talk about another team's crowd, whether it's loud or not, because if you say that they weren't loud, then they're pissing. They're gonna be loud. If you say that they were loud, now they're gonna be even louder too again. So it's just like you kinda don't talk about it, and he did, and Indy's gonna show up. There's nothing more Midwest than a fucking 1 o'clock kick in Indianapolis. Yeah. Okay. There goes people. Those people have been waiting for this shit since January. They got nothing going on.
Yeah. One other pick that I like for a bet that I want to take tomorrow is Mahomes to go over his yards.
Yep.
He's gone over his yards like six times in a row against them, averaging like 350 a game. Yep. It's only at like 270. So. That would be the player prop.
I'm on that one. I'm also on I'm on Lamar over completions.
Dude, me too. Are you on Zay Flowers over receptions? We might have seen the same shit.
I'm not on that one, no.
But I'm on the Lamar thing for the completions also, but that not as much as the Mahomes.
No, the Mahomes, I think, is it's like 266 right now. Is that what his yards are at?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So it's scary because last year I don't think he went over that in the Lions game, and that Chiefs team was very like sleepwalky. So was the Lions, but the Chiefs came out super rusty. So that kind of made me worried about it, but I think that they'll be more up for this Ravens game because they play them so often. They know what they're going to see. Like,
yeah,
I think there'll be a little bit more juice, a little bit more ball in the air
for sure.
And Xavier Worthy, who knows what the Chiefs are putting together this year. I fucking hate them. They're going to, if they three-peat, dude, it's going to be so miserable. So miserable. Fuck the Chiefs. Okay. Bad. Anything else?
Yeah, did you know the Lions played 15 of 17 games indoors this year?
Yes. Trust me.
That's fucking insane, dude.
I cannot wait. I will be in the building for Sunday night football, Lions-Rams.
That's sick. And
it is going to be fucking bumping in there. I can't wait. The first time was lit. This time might come close, actually, which is crazy. But sorry, Matt. And sorry to your kids.
Hey, you know why God made sidewalks, right?
Yep, for bitches like your kids.
Nah, because the motherfucking streets ain't for everybody, dog.
They're not.
Come on.
The Stafford family can't hang. Okay? They had to beat it to La La Land.
For bitches like your kids.
Yeah. Stafford's kids walk on the sidewalk in the township.
Yeah. They're not for the streets.
Nope. Okay. That's all I got. I mean, college football this weekend is going to be sick, too. Texas, Michigan, like I said. Give me Michigan plus the 7.5. The only really other good game other than that is Tennessee and NC State. That should be a sick game. I can't wait to watch Tennessee's quarterback. I didn't get to see him really last week, so. But I heard that kid is the truth. Like,
yeah,
people are saying he is Caleb Williams 2.0, apparently. So that is episode 128. Marshall Faulk, who are the 28s? We didn't really name any 28s.
Oh, Adrian Peterson.
Ooh. Talk about a guy I used to hate. And then he was on our team. But AP was so good.
Who was the guy? Was it Adrian Gonzalez of the fucking Padres? I think he was 28.
Ooh, I think you're right. I think he was 28. What a weird stereotypical like facial goatee that guy had. For a guy named Adrian Gonzalez.
He looked like
however you're like picturing an Adrian Gonzalez to look, that's what he looked like.
Yeah.
You're right.
Exactly. He was like a little cartoon grew up. Like,
dude, he was.
He looked like Pablo Sanchez grew up.
I was just gonna say, he looked like a backyard baseball player, just with like a goatee. What a clown. I think that's good. That's right. Adrian Gonzalez, that's the only 28 you need to worry about. All right, we will see you to recap week one and look at week two. And holy fuck, football is here. Happy fall, everybody. Go eat some chili. We'll see you next week.